Thank you, Michael. That was great. Let's turn to Galatians chapter 5 again. We live in a fallen world that is satanically controlled and in rebellion against God and under a curse. How many of you remember me saying that before? Human beings are members of a fallen race. And here's why. Very early in human history, Adam and Eve, who were real people, rebelled against the Creator, who is a real and good and wise and powerful person. By listening to the adversary, who is also real and a fallen angel, and eating from the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which the Supreme Being warned them not to do, Adam and Eve joined the rebellion of the fallen angels. The consequences of the fall of man were dramatic and immediate. Adam and Eve were alienated from the Creator. Their relationship with God was ruined. Every aspect of who they were was damaged. Their bodies, their souls, their wills, their minds, their spirits, the way they felt about themselves were harmed, damaged, ruined, spoiled, corrupted. The consequences of Adam and Eve's rebellion was a ruined relationship with God, a damaged relationship to a fallen creation. Because when Adam and Eve fell, it affected all of creation. A damaged relationship with other human beings. The ruination of human nature. Domination by Satan and the demons. And a destiny of death. The first death, physical death, followed by the even worse second death, Gehenna, hell, the lake of fire, which, like heaven, is a very real place. The consequences of the sin of our first parents was transmitted to all of their descendants. That ruination of body, soul, will, mind, spirit, that damaged relationship to the Creator and to creation and to other human beings, that loss of eternal life, all of it was passed on like a horrible disease infecting all of us. Because of our alienation from a God who is perfect and holy, because of our fallen, sinful, rebellious human nature, there is not enough we can ever do on our own to end this alienation from God or its many tragic consequences. We can never be good enough or religious enough. We can never keep enough laws or have our good deeds outweigh our bad deeds to end our alienation from the Creator or overcome the real and deadly forces of Satan, sin, the sin nature, and death. No amount of laws, law-keeping, good deeds, or human effort can ever be enough. But the good news is that the good and merciful Creator God did not leave us in that horrible, hopeless, helpless condition. God the Father sent the Redeemer, the one who was able to get us out of every aspect of this horrible situation. The Son of God, who is one with the Father in nature, yet distinct from the Father as a person, was sent on a great rescue mission. The Son of God left heaven, came to this planet, and became a human being. The Messiah was born into the royal family of the chosen people. The young carpenter from Nazareth became our greatest rabbi and lived a unique and perfect and sinless life. Rabbi Yeshua did great miracles, demonstrating he was sent by God. And then he did the greatest thing of all. He allowed himself to be put to death on a cross. But death could not claim or hold this perfect, sinless man. God the Father raised his Son from the dead and transformed him, transforming his body. The death and resurrection of the Redeemer makes it possible for fallen human beings, spiritually dead in their trespasses and sins, to have all of their sins, rebellions, and transgressions forgiven, and their alienation from God ended. They are redeemed from sin. Those who know that God the Father and Messiah the Son are real, and then transfer their loyalties to the three-in-one God of Israel, are removed from the control of the dark kingdom of Satan and the demons. They become citizens of the kingdom of God. They belong to the Father and the Son. They are redeemed out of the kingdom of darkness. They may experience the first death, physical death, but they will never experience the second death. They will live forever as the honorable and eternal, glorious sons and daughters of God in the new heavens, the new earth, and the new Jerusalem. They are redeemed from death. And there's more. Messiah did not only die and rise from the dead so that he has a glorious, transformed body that is able to live forever. He also ascended. He rose back to heaven, back to the right hand of God the Father as the powerful Lord of the universe. From there, the Father and the Son send their Spirit to those who have faith, who know the truth and become loyal to the three-in-one God. When the Spirit of God comes to us, He transforms us. He gives us a new divine nature, the same kind of nature as belonged to the Father and the Son. And the Spirit of God takes up residence in us. He lives in us and dwells in us now and forever. We are redeemed from the sin nature. We have a whole new nature. And that's a tremendous thing. Now, even though Christians and Messianic Jews have a new nature, and we have the Holy Spirit living in us, the flesh, the old nature, is still there. Because we have these two natures, there is a battle that takes place within each one of us. But the new nature, the new us, can win this battle. We can overcome the old nature and its corrupt desires if we live by the Spirit empowering the new nature. So Galatians chapter 5, we'll pick up. So I say, walk. Walk means live. Walk by the Spirit, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They're in conflict with each other, this battle going on within us, so that you are not to do whatever you want. The desires of the flesh are not just physical. The flesh means more than just the body. The flesh means the entire old nature with all of its perverse desires, wrong physical desires, but also wrong attitudes toward others, and wrong thinking about God, truth, and religion. Walk by the Spirit means live in such a way that you get close to God and you stay close to God. That's what walking by the Spirit, living by the Spirit means. If you get close to God and you stay close to God, the Spirit working through your new nature will give you the ability not to yield to the corrupt desires of the old nature. Everyone has things that tempt us that are wrong. The way to overcome the things that tempt us, the way to overcome our areas of weakness, the way to have victory over sin and temptation, is not by committing ourselves to try harder. and keeping a list of rules we need to follow. It's by walking by the Spirit, getting close to God, staying close to God. When we do that, the Spirit of God gives us the power we need to overcome the old nature, the perverse desires and the weaknesses of the flesh. Do you understand that? This is like so important, how we are to live. So how do we live by the Spirit? How do we get close to God and stay close to God? We start by humbling ourselves. We must come to the three-in-one God on His terms, not our terms. We understand that God is God and we are not. We make a commitment to Messiah Yeshua as Lord. He is our Lord. We nurture our relationship with God by practicing the spiritual disciplines, like the discipline of taking in God's Word, by hearing it taught by a qualified teacher in a religious community where the Word of God is faithfully taught. We read and study God's Word on our own and teach it to our children. God speaks to us through His written Word. He also speaks to us in the wonders of creation. So we practice the discipline of seeing God in creation. We look for the order, the wisdom, the elegance, the beauty that God has designed throughout nature. We become alert to the mathematical relationships and the chemical and physical and biological laws that are found throughout creation. We take time to admire the beautiful plants and trees and flowers, the hundreds of thousands of amazing creatures that live in the air, on the ground, in the waters. We admire the waters, the clouds, the stars, the sunrises, the sunsets, and their amazing beauty and diversity. We practice the discipline of seeing God in creation. We practice the discipline of prayer. We discipline our minds to talk to God throughout the day. We talk to Him about things that interest us. We talk to Him about things that concern us. We don't just ask Him for things. We praise Him for who He is, what He has done, is doing, and will do. We thank Him a lot for His many gifts, benefits, blessings. We practice the discipline of prayer. We discipline ourselves to serve the Lord by doing something to build up Messiah's community. We discipline ourselves to give financial support to Messiah's community. We discipline ourselves to bring the good news to those outside Messiah's community of salvation. These are our normal, daily, and weekly spiritual disciplines. Then we consider special times, fasting, silence, solitude, which can help us concentrate and focus our spiritual life with God. We live by the Spirit by continual repentance. When we fail in our walk, when we realize that we are not close to God, that we've drifted away, when we realize that we have sinned, we admit it as soon as possible. We confess our sins. We agree with God that our sins really are sins and are offensive to Him. And we also thank God for the amazing forgiveness that is available to us because of Messiah. And we ask for God's grace to do better the next time we face that same area of weakness or temptation. And the God who forgives 70 times 7 will help us get close to Him once again. He will renew us. He will fill us. We will walk by the Spirit. When we are close to God, we are thinking about Him and what He wants. Each circumstance we face is with Him right there. His Word is in our minds and His Spirit is in our hearts, teaching us and guiding us so we know what to do. Each decision we make is done with Him right there, so we know the right choice to make. This is an entirely different and superior way of relating to God and living for God than following a list of commandments and do's and don'ts and Sinai covenant law keeping, which is why Paul writes, "But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law." Those who are living by the Spirit have a changed relationship to the Sinai covenant. They are not under its authority like the Jewish people were before Messiah came. Instead, we have a close relationship with the living God who is continually leading us and guiding us and empowering us for right living. The Lord's divinely inspired representative has told the Galatians about not gratifying the desires of the flesh, the old nature, and the need for them to live by the Spirit to help them better understand what he means by the flesh and the Spirit, living by the flesh, living by the Spirit, and what that looks like. Paul gives the Galatians two lists: a list of the fruits of the flesh and a list of the fruits of the Spirit. First are the fruits produced by the old, sinful, rebellious nature. The acts of the flesh, think fruits of the flesh, are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery. Debauchery means wild partying and the inappropriate things that go on at wild parties. Idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. The acts of the old nature, the fruits of the flesh, fall into three main categories. The first is inappropriate physical and sexual pleasures, sexual immorality, sexual impurity, which includes all kinds of sexual promiscuity, sexual activity outside of marriage, adultery, pornography, homosexuality, debauchery, which includes wild parties with sex, alcohol, drugs, sensual music. Inappropriate physical and sexual pleasures characterize the corrupt desires of the old nature. The second area that characterizes the old nature is idolatry and witchcraft. Wrong thinking about God, truth, and religion. All false religion, the occult, atheism, agnosticism, any worldview or ideological system that isn't Bible-based Christianity. The third area that reveals the fruits of the flesh is bad attitudes towards others, hatred, discord, dissensions, factions, the inability to get along with others, fits of rage, giving into anger, jealousy, envy, selfish ambition, self-centeredness, selfishness, selfish living, wanting to be above others and wanting what belongs to others, These three areas, inappropriate physical and sexual pleasures, wrong thinking about God, truth, and religion, bad attitudes towards others, characterize the flesh, the fallen nature, the old nature, the sin nature. So, since actions speak louder than words, and since you can tell a tree by its fruit, if someone claims to be a Christian or a Messianic Jew, if these bad fruits characterize their lives, we have the assurance of the Word of God that they will not inherit the kingdom of God. Their lives speak clearly that they have not been redeemed from the control of Satan and the demons, sin and the sin nature, and death. Now, a Christian or a Messianic Jew may struggle with one or more of all of these areas. He might fight against anger and on occasion give in to that anger. He might fight against sexual impurity and fail from time to time. That does not mean he isn't saved. That does not mean that he will not inherit the kingdom of God. Paul's talking about an individual whose life is characterized by these things. He's constantly giving in to sexual immorality and doesn't feel that guilty about it. He enjoys going to wild parties and doesn't think they're bad. He frequently rejects good religion and dabbles with false religion. He constantly yields to anger, hatred, discord, jealousy, selfish ambition. So if these bad fruits characterize a person's life, we are to recognize it and know that this person will not inherit the kingdom of God. That does not make us judgmental. That does not violate, judge not or you will be judged. It makes us wise disciples of Paul. It makes us fruit inspectors, right? Not judges. It makes us discerners, not haters. A bad tree produces bad fruit, Messiah told us. You shall know them by their fruits. A good tree produces good fruit. There must be evidence of good fruit. If a person has been saved, if a person is part of Messiah's new covenant, if a human being has a new nature and the Spirit of God is at work in that person. So next, the rabbi gives us a second list to help us better recognize and understand what living by the Spirit looks like. The good results, the good fruits that living by the Spirit produces. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. The fruit, the results of the Spirit's activity in those who have been reconciled to God are love, which is the desire to be other-centered, not self-centered. The desire to help, bless, do for, care for others, not based on what you will get out of it, but simply how it will help someone else. The old nature is selfish. The Spirit, working through our new nature, produces love. Joy, a happiness that is not dependent on circumstances. A happiness that results from knowing your sins are forgiven, knowing you're in a right relationship with the living God, knowing that God is your Father and Messiah is your brother, knowing that you can trust the three-in-one God, knowing that you will live forever. These things produce joy, not dependent on circumstances. It's hard for the fallen nature to be happy, independent of circumstances, when things aren't going well. But the Spirit working through our new nature produces joy, a happiness not dependent on circumstances. Peace, a sense of well-being that's also independent of circumstances, a sense of well-being that can be experienced even in the midst of hardships and difficulties and trials, because you know that in spite of your circumstances, it is well with your soul. The old nature so often lacks peace, peace with God, often peace with nature, peace with others, even peace within oneself. The Spirit, working through our new nature, produces peace, a state of well-being, wholesome relationship with God, with man, with nature, with self. Patience. The fallen nature is impatient, quick to judge, hasty to make decisions, ready to go on the attack at a moment's notice. The Spirit working through our new nature produces patience. We take time to think things through before responding. We are willing to put up with inconveniences. We're quick to forgive, to give people second and third chances, to give others time and opportunity to improve. We are slow to dismiss others for their sins or inadequacies and write them off. Kindness. That's being gracious, considerate, thoughtful about the needs or desires of others. The fallen nature could be cruel, thoughtless, inconsiderate. The Spirit working through our new nature produces kindness. Goodness. Goodness is very similar to love. It's the desire to do something beneficial, something that will benefit someone else, to give to them something that will bless them, something that will help them, something that will uplift them. Goodness is based on what is right and true and genuinely beneficial. You are not doing good if what you are trying to give someone turns out to be harmful. The Spirit working through our new nature produces goodness. Faithfulness. The fallen nature is not faithful. People are so often unreliable, so often disloyal, sometimes betrayers, traitors. God is faithful. God is true. His Spirit living in us and working through our new nature produces faithfulness. Faithfulness to God Himself. Loyalty to the Word of God. Faithfulness to the people of God. Faithfulness to the proclamation of the good news of God. Faithfulness to your word. Your yes means yes. Your no means no. Your promises and vows are kept. Gentleness. The old nature can be tough, harsh, aggressive toward others. The Spirit working through our new nature produces gentleness. It's a kind of mildness that is not to be confused with weakness. It's a mildness towards human beings. It's a mildness toward God that cooperates with God. Self-control. Messiah said, the Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. That's so true. The flesh is weak. The old nature is weak and so often lacks self-control. It's easily overcome by temptation. It frequently yields to wrong desires, often not even realizing a desire is wrong. Even if a person is aware that some desire may be wrong, he will often not care enough to resist yielding to that wrong desire. But the Spirit working through our new nature produces the ability to know what is right and the ability to control ourselves, to control our language, to control our anger, our temper, to control our habits and impulses and behaviors, our eating, drinking, smoking, and spending habits, to control our sexual desires. The fruit of the Spirit is self-control. The results, the evidence, the manifestations, the fruits of the Spirit of God living in those with a new nature is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. So if you are saved, if you are genuinely born again, if you are a true son or daughter of the living and eternal God, if you are headed to heaven, there should be some fruit. There should be some evidence of it. There should be a desire to love others and do good things for others. There should be some peace and joy that are not dependent on your circumstances. You should have more patience, kindness, and gentleness toward others. There should be evidence of a desire to be more faithful to God, more faithful to the Word of God, more faithful to the people of God, more faithful to the proclamation of the good news of God, more faithful to your word, your promises, your vows. There should be more self-control in your life. If these qualities are in your life and they are increasing, you can be sure that you are a child of God. You can know a tree by its fruit. So I ask you, do these things characterize your life? Or is your life characterized by continually giving in to inappropriate physical and sexual pleasures, wrong thinking about God, truth, and religion, and bad attitudes towards others? Living by means of a new relationship to God and a new nature and the indwelling and empowering of the Spirit so that these great results are produced is an entirely different and superior way of relating to God than commitment to follow a list of do's and don'ts and laws and commands, even if it's Sinai covenant law-keeping, which is, I think, one reason why the rabbi writes, against such things there is no law. Another reason he writes against such things there is no law is because one of the purposes of law is to restrain evil. Those who are living according to the new nature and by the power of the Holy Spirit and who are producing these good results don't need laws or threats of punishment for violating laws to motivate them or restrain them. Against such things, there's no law. They're operating with a superior ability and motivation that's generated from within, not from without. One of the fruits of the Spirit is self-control, the ability to control the old fallen sinful nature and its perverse, corrupt desires. To reinforce this truth, the rabbi puts it another way. Those who belong to Messiah Yeshua have crucified the flesh, the old nature, with its passions and desires. Those who belong to Messiah have crucified the flesh. You belong to Messiah if you know who He is and you have become loyal to Him. Then the Father and the Son send their Spirit to live in you. They give you that new nature. The Spirit combined with the new nature and a new understanding enables you to have the power to overcome your old corrupt nature so that you control it and it does not control you. Think of it this way. Messiah was crucified. If you belong to Messiah Yeshua, you are united to Him. And the crucified one knows how to help you crucify your flesh. He has a lot of experience in that area. He was crucified. He has all the wisdom and the power necessary to help you crucify your sin nature. Those who belong to Messiah have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So we need the Messiah. We need to belong to Him. We need His Spirit living in us. We need the new nature the Spirit produces in us. We need the mind of Messiah. Those who belong to Messiah have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. This is the right way to live. This is the way to experience victorious living. This is the way to live the way God intended those made in His image to live, by the indwelling and empowering and leading and guiding and teaching of the Holy Spirit of the Father and the Son. So let's live this way. Rabbi Paul writes, since we live by the Spirit, let's keep in step with the Spirit, really being led by Him, guided, directed, taught, empowered by Him, not by anything else, including law-keeping, human effort. And let's live this great way together, full of joy and peace and self-control, loving each other, being patient and kind and gentle and good to each other. Certainly, let's not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for sending Messiah, who redeemed us from all the consequences of the fall, redeeming us from Satan and the demons, redeeming us from sin, redeeming us from the sin nature, redeeming us from death. Heavenly Father, You are so gracious and amazing. Amen. Lord, help us live by means of Your Spirit, to live in a way that we really get close to You and stay close to You. Amen. Lord, help us to practice the spiritual disciplines which help us stay close to You. Amen. Lord, enable us to truly crucify the old nature with its corrupt desires. Amen. Lord, we believe that the Spirit working through our new nature will give us the ability to not yield to the corrupt desires of the old nature. He will produce love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control in us. May those fruits truly be produced in each one of us. Amen. And Lord, if we fail in living for You, walking with You, if we wander from You, stray from You, if we sin, help us confess our sins as soon as possible and truly turn back to You. And thank You that we have Your assurance that You will forgive us and fill us with Your Spirit once again so that we can walk in the Spirit again. Amen. Lord, help us keep in step with Your Spirit and with the other members of Messiah community so that all of us together are living by the Spirit, living the right way. Amen. Amen. Please stand. Let's continue with our tefillot, the prayers of our synagogue. O Lord our God and God of our Father,